We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Powerful stuff. You guys think about it. You can take that last song. Totally transform your lives by just allowing that. Get rid of all that stuff. God, here I am. Lord, do with me whatever you want to do. God, if make room in me, carve it out, cut it out, tear it out, rip it out. Do whatever you got to do to use me. Don't let anything stand in your way. Don't let anything keep you from being who God wants you to be. Don't do that, okay? Don't do it. It's a choice. It's simply a choice. It's that simple. It's a choice. It's like a light switch. You flip the switch. You say, I can't do that. Yeah, you can flip the switch. I've been saying that a lot here recently. Not in here, but in my world and home in different places. Just flip a switch. Life is that simple. It really is. I'm just not going to do it no more. How many people have you heard, and you know them, they were smoking, and all of a sudden, you know what? And smoking is bad, but they're like, you know, I quit. I know a lot of people that did it. I know people that struggled with it. But then I know a lot of people that just said, doggone it, I quit. I know people that stopped alcoholism like that. I know people that stopped lots of different things by choosing to simply do it. No telling what God can do if we surrender our lives to Him. How many of you like movies? Do people in here like movies? I like movies. I'm not a movie, go to the movie kind of buff kind of guy. I'm not that. But we watch a lot of movies in the house. And one of the things that I do too often, and it drives my kids, you got your phone? It drives my kids crazy, is we're sitting over there and we're about to watch a movie or the movie started, and I'll get my phone out. And they're like, Daddy, don't do that. And I'm like, I want to know. I sit over there and I'll Google what happens, what's going on, how does it end, what's happening. I basically just kind of watch the whole movie. I sort of read about the whole movie before the movie plays. They're like, get off your phone. And I'm like, I'm not. And I don't always do it, but there's a lot of times I do it, you know, because especially a lot of times I'll check, make sure there's nothing in them that don't need to be watched. But for a lot of them, I know it's not a bad movie because we'll talk about it around the office. We'll talk about it in different places. But I just want to kind of know. I don't like that. I don't know. I'm not saying we don't watch horror movies and stuff. It's not like I don't like the scary part, but I don't know. It's weird. It's quirkiness. But you know, here's the thing. The Bible, for many of us, for all of us, if we're honest, is just like what I'm doing when I pick up the phone and start reading ahead or watching ahead or checking out what happens. Or we already know kind of what's going to happen. In this book, God has given us the Word. He's given us His Word. He tells us how it's going to end. He don't tell us when. He told us how it begins. We don't have a timeline. You can do the math on it and kind of see whether you're a billion-year person or whether you're an actual, the Bible pretty much says you can look back and find dates by just putting numbers together. But you know, the Bible is very, very, very clear on what He wants, what He expects, what happens if you do it a certain way, what happens in this person's life and this person's life. You can see how God acts here and acts here and acts here and all over the place. And you can really get a good understanding of how this whole thing plays out. What's going on here and what's going on there? And you can look at the Bible and it tells us a whole lot. There's one book that I can probably say if there's a few chapters in the front of it and the back of it that I've probably gone to more times than any other. I don't say any other, but I go to it quite a bit. It's Job. Go with me to Job. Job. looking at characters of the Bible this year, looking at God working and moving in the lives of people. When you look at the person of Job and the whole story of Job, you almost get what I'm doing there with the phone when a movie starts. But see, Job, the character, doesn't know what's going on up behind the scenes in the meetings of God. Job doesn't see it, but we get it. You know, we sort of get the behind the scenes of there's a business meeting that takes place in heaven and the devil, it shows up and God's like, where are you being? Roaming to and fro on the earth and all about on it. And we see how God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? We see all of that. But Job don't. And you can almost kind of ish put ourselves in a Job position at times in a way, if you want to look at it like that. I mean, I think it's quite possible. But the book of Job, you see the character of Job, you see the story behind the scenes of God, you see, look at the very first verse of the book. You find out a whole lot about Job. You find out where he's from, first few verses, where he's from, what he does, how many kids he's got, how he's known, how he carries himself, what he looks like, how he acts. This first verse, I've read through this first verse over and over and over and over and over so many times. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was, here's some things, blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Pause. Brother Shannon, tell me the secret of life. Tell me what I ought to do. Brother Shannon, tell me how to raise my family. Brother Shannon, tell me how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a father, how to be a mother. Tell me how to be a student. Tell me how to be a son or a daughter. Tell me how to be an employer or an employee. Tell me how to be whatever in life. And it comes back to this right here. Be blameless, upright, fear God, and turn from evil. That's the secret of life. Be blameless. That word blameless there is all through. It starts sort of there. You can fear God all you want to and be a mess. And it's broken. It starts with blameless. It really does. It's the character. It's the walk. It's the heart. It's the focus. It's the, Lord Jesus, I want to please you. And here again I am on a Sunday morning. A whole bunch of you are here again, just like you were always here. And I've got to assume, if you're here, you love Jesus. If you're here, you're a believer. If you hear, you have a personal relationship with Christ. But if you don't, you must know him before eternity gets you. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven by which a person is saved except Jesus. Listen, don't slip through this life and be this intellectual and trying to figure it out, and I'm wanting to go chase this mountain and chase this cloud, and I'm wanting to figure it out. Listen, you don't have to do that. That's foolishness. When God's telling you right here in front of me, you need a Savior, and I've sent my Son to be that. Don't reject Christ on this earth. Don't reject Christ in this life. So it starts with blameless. Once we trust Christ as Lord and Savior, we begin to walk in obedience, and that make room, that concept of God, clean the stuff. If this doesn't honor you, if this attitude, if this thing or thing, this addiction or problem or whatever it is, God, if this doesn't honor you, move it. Lord, I want to please you in all aspects of who I am without making excuses. And the world sees it, and you see it, and everybody else around you sees it. You know, Noah, just listen. You don't have to bounce around. I want to read you a few things. I'm not going to tell you where the verses are. I'm just got stickies there, and I'm reading it. Listen to this. Therefore, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Remember when God was about to destroy everything, he went looking for somebody, and Noah found favor, grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was blameless. He walked with God. That word, get over a little further, Abraham. Abraham, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I mean, it's pretty simple. Get on over to the children of Israel are about to enter into the promised land. God's chosen people. And what does God say to them? You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. I mean, there's integrity, there's a character, there's just something that, you know, I just want to please God. I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up. Here's the deal. I'm going to mess up, but my desire is to be blameless. My decisions are not always going to be exactly right, because I'm flesh. I'm a human like the rest, but I want my decisions. I want them to honor God. I want my decisions to please God. I want the outcome to bring him glory in all things. Jesus, over in the Sermon on the Mount, says this: the word moves, understand in the New Testament. The word blameless and perfect are kind of there together in a way. Not that we can be perfect, but doggone it, we can try. I want to please him. If I know it doesn't honor him, I don't want to do it. If I know it goes against the word of God, I do not want to be a part of it. Therefore, you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Paul writes to the early church and says this: not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I am hungering and I am pursuing and I am reaching for that pinnacle, and that pinnacle is Christ. And I'm not there yet, but I long to be there. And I don't look back at the mistakes of the past. I just want to continue to pursue him in my life. You can fear God and be filthy. It's broken. God wants a blameless. God wants a heart that pursues him, a heart that loves him, a heart that's humble and realizes that, God, it's you and you alone. That's who Job was. Job was a man blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. You say, Brother Shannon, I don't get that whole light switch. It's right there. Turning away from evil is just a light switch. Just don't do it. Choose not to do it. Hey, there's going to be a bunch of stuff there that you know doesn't please and honor God. Don't go. Yeah, but everybody else is going. Don't go. Yeah, but all of my friends are going to be there. Don't go. Question, are they really your friends if they're going to be there? Check yourself. Everybody else is doing it. The whole world is doing it. Everybody's doing it. But the Bible says, does it please God? Does it honor God? Yeah, but okay, stop right there and turn away from it. Flip that switch. Don't go there. Does it line up with the word of God? Does it please God? Does it edify? Does it build up? Does it bring him glory? Well, no, not really. We'll turn away from it. Blameless, upright, fears God, turns away from evil. That's who Job was. You know, if you were reading the phone, if you were sitting in your recliner and you're reading about the behind the scenes and you're seeing all of this and you see the character, you see what's going on, and then you get down a little further, it's shocking what happens. Because, you know, We could argue we're trying to be like this. Not to earn anything, but because it's who we are. We're not trying to be blameless and upright and fearing God and turning from evil so that we can make God love us more. God can't love you any more than he already loves you. No, we do that because it honors him, and that's who we are in Christ. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's who we are as believers. We're blameless. We're upright. We fear God. We turn from evil. That's who we are. And when we don't do it, that's our flesh saying, yeah, but everybody, all of my friends are going to be there, and they're going to be having so much fun. I hear you, Lord, but I am going to go here instead. You read the rest of the story, and I know you've read it before. If not, you will not walk out of this room without hearing it this morning. I promise you. Because it's unbelievable what happens. There's no way this character should go through what he's about to go through. There's no way a person who is blameless and upright and fearing God and turning from evil, this dude's got it right. This dude should have happily ever after. And when you read about it, look at what's going on. He's got a big old family. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys and very many servants. And the man was the greatest of all the men in the East. Notice this. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house, and each one of the on his day, and they would send and invite the 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them. Listen to this: rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps. My sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus Job did continually. Wow. That dude's solid. That's what we're pursuing. That's what we want to act like. We don't even know if our kid's done anything wrong, but just in case, we go intercede. And he did it continually. He was one of the greatest men of the East, had this huge, massive possession. God's hand in favor and love and grace and mercy had been lavished on this man. Unbelievable what God had done for him. And then we get the behind the scenes part. That's why we have the Word of God. We're fools if we don't read it. You're a fool if you don't read it. I say that in great love. You have the Word of God. You have the Word of God. Don't waste it. Notice what happens, how the scene changes. It goes from talking about the man to we see behind the scenes now. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Notice who starts the conversation here. Notice who initiates it all. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come from?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking about on it." And the Lord said to Satan, something that we would never expect God to do. Something we would never expect to be found in Scripture. But God looks at the devil and says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God initiated the conversation. God instigated. Remember, back on earth, Job is living it up. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all aspects, blameless, upright, feared God, turned from evil. Job is doing all of the above. In verse 8, God says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning from evil.'" Notice that. God sees it. This whole blameless, upright, fearing God, turning from evil thing, God sees that stuff. So when you say, "Well, nobody knows," God knows. Remember last week, God sees, God knows it, God sees you. Remember, the world may not, but God does. God says to Satan, "Hey, look, if you consider my servant Job, he's an upright man. He's blameless, upright, fears me, and turns from evil. Have you thought about him? Has he come across your radar?" And notice what happens. It's very important. Guys, we're fools if we don't read this book. Because God says something. He's like, "Have you considered him?" And the devil's like, "I can't touch him. I can't mess with him. I can't get to him." Notice what he says. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has, and on every side you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land?" The devil couldn't touch him. He was blameless, upright, feared God, turned from evil, and the devil couldn't get to him. The hedge of protection was all around the person Job. Here Job is down on the earth, just living life, pleasing the Lord, worshiping the Lord the best he knew how, giving his life completely to the Lord. And here behind the scenes, God noticed he was doing it. The devil noticed he was doing it. And the devil was like, "Hey, God, I can't touch him. Why are you going to sick me on him? I can't touch him because you have a hedge around him. You've blessed everything he touches. Everything he touches turns to gold. I mean, you bless the fire out of him. It's unbelievable. I can't get through that wall." Which begs the question, if the devil can't get through wall, what wall? Back to verse 1. That wall. Guys, if we want a wall, we want that wall. We want the blameless, upright, fears God, turn from evil wall. If anything is making us not blameless, or not upright, or not fearing God, or not turning from evil, we don't want that in our lives. Because when we walk in a manner worthy, when we please him, when our hearts and our minds and our desires to please him in our flesh, oh, wretched men that we are, and our flesh sickens us, God notices, and the devil can't touch you. And the devil says, "But wait, notice who gives permission. Notice who's in control. Notice who's got the upper hand." Verse 11, "But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face." Job's like, he's only doing it. God's devil's like, he's only doing it because of all the blessings. Take the blessings away and he'll change. Take the blessings away and he'll stop. Take the blessings away. Y'all focus on me, please. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and it's unbelievable. Focus. Blameless, upright, fears God, shun evil. It's the devil that is always, "Yeah, but if I can throw this snare, if I can drop this trap, if I can make this happen, if I can allow this to happen," they'll turn their heart away from you. And notice what God says. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him.' So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord." It don't make sense. I can't explain it. But it's real. Job is doing everything in his power to do right. And outside of anything of his power, and behind the scenes in a meeting of God that he knew nothing about, the writer of Job's story is instigating, is allowing this to go on. Verse 13, look at what happens. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabians attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. So he just lost his family. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep, and the servants were consumed by them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. He just lost his possessions. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew them and the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you. I can't tell you the number of times I've preached this, and I just visualize it. I mean, this is just how I see it. Job sitting there and got his elbows up on the table, and he's eating his chicken leg. I've said chicken leg for 20-something years now. He's eating his chicken leg, and he's like, huh? And one after the other, after the other, after the other comes in, and he's like, huh? His world fell apart in an instant. What's his response? Then Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshipped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. And the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them in the present to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where you been? And let me say this, God never loses Satan. God never loses Satan. It's kind of like he never lost Adam in the garden. God never loses Satan. Satan has to confess everything. Satan's got to tell him everything. Satan's not rogue. Satan has to submit. Then the Lord said to Satan, where have you been? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God, turning from evil. God still sees it in the middle of the storm, when all the world around you, when all hell is breaking loose, God sees you even then. When your roller coaster is no longer on the mountain and you're no longer living the dream and your life falls apart and everybody around you turns on you and mamas dies and family members dies and jobs leave and finances fall, God still sees you. And how we act in the valley is just as important as how we act on the mountain. Because God still sees you. Notice this, he still holds fast his integrity. Although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Devil don't do nothing. There's so much here. I'd go home and read it 100 times. Go home and read chapter 1 and 2 100 times. Read it slow. Don't read it. Read it slow. Read through it. Ask questions. Wrestle with it. Struggle with it. Fight it. It don't make sense. It won't make sense after 100 readings. But here's what will. You'll see God high and lifted up and holy and in charge. And the devil, if anything, a puppet on a leash. And therein lies a great cosmic battle, and Job in the center, played out still today, over and 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 over again. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he'll give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and in his flesh, and he'll curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. Who's in control? Who's calling the shots? Who's putting the limits? Who's giving the parameters? God." And Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Notice this, curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed listen from a man, not on a mountain, but a man in the deepest valley?" Oh, you can say that when you're not going through something. You can say that when all things are good in your life, but you let bad something happen to you and you can't speak into my life like that. I know I can't, but Job can. Job looks at his wife and says this, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that had come upon him, they came each one from his own place, Eliphaz and the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes at a distance, they did not recognize him. They raised their voices and wept, and each of them tore his robe, and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. And they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. God sees you. Blameless, upright, fearing God, turning from evil. That's our standard. That's what God desires. Walk in obedience. Whether you're in a mountain or you're in a valley. We don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. We don't understand the why is it happening to me. Woe is me, poor little me. They've got it good and I got it bad. I've always done good for all my life and all of a sudden my world is falling apart. What have I done wrong? I must have done something wrong. I must have thought something wrong. Yeah, I must be getting paid for my sin. Something, 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 something. Job was blameless, upright, feared God, turned from evil, and all hell broke loose. When he went from the mountain to the valley, he continued to hold his integrity. And when it hit him personally, he continued to hold his integrity. And when the world around him, when them friends come and give him godly counsel. Job is not Jesus. Job is a man who chose to walk blameless before the Lord, upright, fearing God, and choosing to turn from evil. And we get to sit back and see it played out, just like the phone with the movie, just like the Bible. We get to see how it ends and how it happens. It's a glimpse, y'all. It's a glimpse into it. Nowhere after that, on the oldest books of the Bible, nowhere after that do we see the business meetings end. I'll always say that. We don't see, and there come a day and time to where the meetings of God cease to exist. I can't explain it. I can just simply read it. It does us well to read it. It's comforting. to read it. It's eye-opening. It's, wow, I didn't know that happened. Wow, I didn't think it went like that. Wow, I didn't. Here's what usually happens, honestly, when we let the Spirit of God lead and we let go. Wow, I didn't know that's how things worked. I didn't know it was like that. I've always believed, or I've always thought, I always would have done it. Me, I would have done it. I would have done it. I thought, I believed, I would have. Me. Just throw God in it. Replace it with, instead of, well, I know what, okay, God, what do you do? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are perfect. Father God, Lord in heaven, help us because we're flesh and flesh hurts. Lord, we see Job there, his friend sat for 7 days in total silence because Job was in agony. Here sits a man in agony who, Lord, up until this point, you told us, God, he was blameless and upright and feared you and turned from evil. And he was doing everything we try to do, God. We just try to please you. We try to walk in obedience. We don't do it to earn. We do it just because it's who we are. God, but we see you behind the scenes. You allow things to come at us for your glory. You allow things to come at us to bring you praise. You allow things to happen in our lives to conform us to the image of your Son. God, help us to walk blameless. Help us to walk upright. Help us to fear you, to know that there is a holy awe. You're always watching. God, help us to simply flip that switch. That doesn't please God. Yeah, the world may do it, but as for me and my house, we're not. God, help us in Jesus' name.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.